with our skin. Our blood will reject it, because we aren't of the Amu line, but it remains beneath our skin to keep the promise. After our rebirth to the hidden world, most lead relatively normal lives, other than experiencing a heightened insight or the occasional vivid dream, particularly following the required rebaptism every 7 years.
Every descendant? Every 7 years? But wasn't the first Zaman alive around a few thousand years ago or something? How many of you are there now? There isn't enough sand in the world.
There's always enough for what is needed. It's part of the magic. My parents took me to the Zaman's house when I was a boy and I saw the original jar with my own eyes. In our people's memory, it has never needed to be refilled.
So you've voluntarily done this more than you needed to, and the Zaman gave you permission. Why?
He took her elbow to turn her down a small side street before dropping his hand and slipping it into his jeans pocket. Because I knew I would need it, that I would have to be strong enough to do what had to be done. After my 7th birthday, I had a vision, Azeezah Jane. Among other things, I saw you. Us. I saw my destiny. That's why I was presented to the Zaman to begin with. My parents wanted her to tell me my vision was just a dream, that it didn't mean anything and I wouldn't have to be among the chosen. But she'd known I was coming long before I was born, he shrugged. So here I am.
Azeezah was speechless. He'd had a vision of her. She'd had one of him, too, but she wasn't planning on sharing it with him.
They don't see me, Azeezah Jane, not the way you do. I had a vision, too, you know. You and I, like this, I've been looking for you. Wanted you for longer than you could possibly know, and I knew I'd find you.
Had part of her known what he was? Had the shower fantasy she'd had only hours after they'd met been the Sand's way of letting her know? Trust the Keeper's child. She did. It was insane, but she did. She trusted him as much as she trusted Penn and Greg.
If you saw me, this, then you must have seen how dangerous it is. The murders. The Janir.
Yes. Some of it. Flashes, mostly. I'm only shown what I need to know to play my part. She thought about her worries about Chai's safety, the feeling that she needed to be protected.
Does that include bringing innocent people into the equation? Like Chai? I'm no better. I have my aunt and Greg. But if you could see what was coming, why would you keep her with you?
West sighed and reached down to take her hand. Their fingers crackled with static and sparks again.
Because he was a keeper?
Everyone has a part in this, Azeezah Jane. Some larger than others. Some unknowingly. But there is no one around you now who isn't meant to be. Though not all will remain. I'm not a Zaman. And I can't see every potential, but I know that much is true. Chai Nguyen is exactly where she needs to be. Gregory Prophet is necessary.
Gregory is necessary. Did he have any idea that Tay had said that to her before? Had he seen it in one of his visions? Had he seen her brother?
West, I want to ask you about
We're here.
Azeezah blinked.
We are? Already?
She eyed the ancient wooden door that was barely tall enough for her to walk through without ducking, her eyebrows raised in surprise. This was where the wizard hid his library from the djinn and Nir? She'd expected an actual library, or a secret passage that led to a castle, not a bar. She glanced at him and bit her lips.
I'm not done with you yet. Maybe we should meet him later.
We'll have plenty of time to talk. Don't look so nervous, Azeezah Jane, he added with a grin. After strong-arming the Alpha of the Enforcers, this meeting will be a breeze. My second cousins in Israel have been friends with Thurn for years, and I've known him for months. Trust me, he's one of the good guys.
And we're meeting him in a pub?
It's closed for renovations, so we won't have to worry about whether or not time starts up again. Even if it weren't. Our man always has a few tricks up his sleeve. He's got a talent for hiding not even I can match.
When he opened the door, it gave a heartfelt groan as it scraped across the rough wood floor.
Dern loves renovation and construction sites. Says he likes the feeling of places in flux. That, like life, nothing should be set in stone. He and I have had long, drawn-out disagreements about destiny. He's not a fan of the word.
He sounds deep.
A booming male laugh followed her words.
Deep. Well, I am. Deeper than you can fathom. Get it? Well, fathom? It's a measurement. Bah, never mind. Bring her in, boy, bring her in. I thought you were going to change your mind about revealing yourself and getting her over here. Glad I was wrong.
Aziza looked around as she went a few steps deeper into the pub. But she didn't see him anywhere. The place appeared to be empty. There were no tables or chairs, no glasses behind the bar, no people. Was he hidden from the Nir and Jin because he was actually invisible?
Come in, girl,
the voice behind her said. She whirled to see a tall, heavy-set male form in the shadows. Not invisible then. He shook his head.
Thought you'd be taller, Fireborn, and older, too. What are you, 15?
West snorted.
She's old enough, old man. Be nice to her while I get her some coffee from the kitchen.
Aziza moved closer, her eyes adjusting enough to the dimmer light of the pub to catalog the stranger's features. He looked more like a lumberjack, or an outdoorsy version of Santa Claus than a bookworm, with a full, bright red beard and mussed hair that was a shade darker. His flannel shirt, which was partially tucked into one side of his pants, strained across his barrel chest and rounded stomach. He also had on eyeglasses that looked too small for him and were held together with a white tape. His accent was harder to place. Perhaps Canada, or somewhere along the northeastern seaboard.
Dern, I presume? Aziza inquired. West said you wanted to see me. I have to ask, how did you know who I was?
Where I was, and what or who are you? He motioned for her to follow him and walked into a smaller room off the main bar without waiting to see if she'd follow. The room was brightly lit, and it looked as though it might be a game room. The big table in the center was covered in old, worn books of all sizes, as well as notebooks and journals and rolls of parchment. It was an impressive collection. Along the wall, a row of brand-new dartboards were hung like modern art, some of them currently covered with threadbare and ancient-looking maps. Seriously, how had he gotten all this in here without being noticed?
I know who you are, and I know why you're here, Aziza.
He turned to face her, the table between them, and chuckled.
Why, your little near whisperer was poking around every nook and cranny for any information she was allowed to give you. That is one interesting Karen, by the way. Spends more time walking the line than any djinn I've ever heard of. I have a feeling that's your influence.
Are you sure we're talking about my near?
He made Tay sound like a rebel.
You do have a lot to learn, don't you?
He clapped his hands together.
You've come to the right place, then, because I know things. Things are what I know. For example, what are you? The Fireborn? Vessel of Fire? Embodiment of the Mayette, etc., etc. The glue that binds the tree that stopped the horrible war that almost obliterated this world and two others. Unfortunately, you are also the only generation of your line not raised on the lore, so you've had to figure this all out as you went along. Luckily, you have spunk and you're a quick study. Are you impressed? Am I warm?
Aziza stared at him. He did know who she was. And he knew Tay was a whisper. How?
Yes. You're on fire. My actual name is just Aziza, by the way. I know that much about myself.
He chuckled again.
On fire. Funny. I get it. The Zaman said you'd be a woman but didn't mention you'd be funny. As you've already been informed, they call me Dern.
Aziza was too curious to bother being wary. Since Tay had mentioned him, she'd been thinking about all the things she still wanted to know, needed to know. She had so many questions that required answers rather than enigmatic riddles or half-truths. And here was a man who obviously had answers to spare, a human who wasn't bound to any consensus,
Jin rule, or Alpha's whim.
Think, Aziza. Focus. So you've met the actual Zaman. Are you related to the Keepers, like West? Is that how you stay hidden?
He shook his head as he shuffled through his papers and moved a few books around. No, I wasn't born to this like he was. I inherited my knowledge in journals and books. My great-grandfather was one of those wealthy wannabe archaeologists. You know the type. The ones who bought mummies to decorate their homes and were always on the lookout for ancient civilizations they could discover and pilfer through. He was documenting stories of the magical djinn and rumors of buried golden palaces in the Middle East when the Zaman, I suppose it can't still be the same one, invited him to stay in her home. She listened to his theories on ancient civilizations and his dreams of bringing enlightenment to his generation, cooked for him, and after they'd eaten, they sat beside the fire and she told him a story. A very detailed, very magical story.
Aziza sat down in the chair closest to the table and leaned forward. About what?
He studied her over his glasses, his gray blue eyes sparkling. West is the writer of this operation. Maybe he should tell you.
West walked up in time to hear her and pushed a few books carefully out of the way so he could set a cup of hot coffee on the table in front of her.
Sadly, there is no time for me to be appropriately teased about that. This is where I leave you.
What do you mean? You're leaving me?
She didn't like the sound of that.
West placed his hand on her shoulder and squeezed. She felt that static electricity again.
You'll be fine, Aziza. You're safe here.
Dern frowned.
Seen this in one of those visions of yours?
Yes, West shrugged.
Well, I saw me bringing her in and then leaving without her. You know I never see you. But I think what I did see means whatever you need to talk about is between the two of you.
Aziza bit her lip. She didn't know this man like West did, but both of them knew about her. About the whispers and their sources. This whole situation felt strange. Sneaky. Then again, when you were a human with knowledge you shouldn't have, and a keeper who was so determined to remain hidden that you'd covered your body with scars, Sneaky probably came with the territory.
I'll see you later?
She wanted to ask West about Joseph, about what Chev had mentioned. Now that she knew other people could remain hidden, particularly the Keepers, she was more and more sure that it was how Joseph was staying out of sight. Maybe a Keeper's child had saved his life, was even now watching over him.
I'll see you tonight at Underbridge. You're going to want to be there.
With a somber smile, he stood and disappeared the way they'd come. When she heard the door creak shut behind West, Aziza shifted in her chair to face Dern again and self-consciously traced the mark on her forehead. There was no way for her to hide what she was from people who weren't affected by her powers. Not a lot about her was subtle or sneaky.
How did you two meet? She asked.
West?
Dern looked toward the door fondly.
I found him through one of his relatives. I was in Wales purchasing an old map from a collector friend and was told a keeper's child was nearby. It's good to have someone to talk to other than myself and my books, and that always means making nice with the keepers. Shame Gramps couldn't have figured that golden nugget out. Anyway, though he's young and far more interested in his visions of the future than my books on the past, when West told me that he was going to help the Fireborn, I decided to keep him close so I wouldn't miss the excitement. I've been waiting to meet you all my life, Aziza Jane Stewart.
She shifted uncomfortably on the hard chair.
I hope you aren't disappointed.
Leaning over his books, he squinted at her mark.
The drawings don't do them justice, you know. The Mayette's powers are actually branded into your skin, your DNA, all that chaotic, unimaginable energy. Living inside, a little bit like you.
He shook his head and smiled.
Heady stuff. But we shouldn't get distracted. I was going to tell you the story the Zaman told my great-grandfather.
Please.
All right. She knew how to spin a yarn, the Zaman did. Hooked him right away, when she said there were other worlds full of life. Not in outer space, but right beside us. Secret worlds that ran parallel to ours, one on either side.
Dern leaned his hip against the table, took off his glasses, and stared somewhere over her head as though remembering.
She said humans couldn't see into either one, but both sides could observe us, visit us. And they did, more frequently than anyone would want to know. Angels, fairies, devils, aliens. Most, if not every story about otherworldly things come back to one of them. The real problems arose when they realized they couldn't see each other unless one or both of them were here.
They couldn't?
Apparently not. Our world is the brick wall between theirs. Now the djinn, you know them, they didn't care. For a long time, they only knew about our world and were happy enough to hop back and forth, experiencing the delights we had to offer. When they found out about the others, let's just say they didn't think they were missing anything entertaining. But the ones we call the near, they saw as many worlds as we see stars, always had, for as far back as any of them remembered, rarely visiting, only watching. If they had a religion, it is observation, because to them, if it isn't seen, then it isn't real.
Aziza remembered what Tay said. They didn't experience things. They only watched. It seems cold, and in Tay's case, sad, because it was obvious that some part of her wanted experience, was drawn to it, to Aziza and Greg. I wonder why.
Dern snorted derisively. I don't. Bunch of black-eyed voyeurs, those near. What is it they say? Those who can't do, watch and judge you from afar?
He looked pleased with himself for a moment.
That sums them up, too. Maybe if they did something other than observe, they'd learn a thing or two. Anyway, when the near saw the djinn interacting with our world and realized they couldn't see into the djinn's, it made them paranoid. Aggressive. The Zaman went on for a while about that, and how badly the djinn responded to all early attempts at near-light diplomacy. Then she talked about the wars, how they used our world over and over again like a chessboard, with humans as pawns and cannon fodder, because they couldn't invade each other. And when that wasn't satisfying enough, they came together here in a clash so profound that something more powerful was born to restore the balance.
He focused on Aziza again, and she was riveted, mesmerized.
Here's the part of the story that's about you. She told my great-grandfather that a line was created when the treaty was forged. A lineage that would contain the essence of human, djinn, and near, and would be woken in a time of need, when the forced peace was threatened and the unfinished battle would seek its end. She said they were the only ones capable of harnessing a power that could be used for salvation, or total annihilation. She talked about the eventual rise of a fireborn. You, in great detail. She said she could see your arrival as if it were happening in the present. The one smart thing my fancy pants relative ever did was write it all down.
There they were again. Words that made her feel like a horseman of the apocalypse. Salvation or total annihilation. Couldn't she just keep the uneasy peace? What if she made the wrong choice? Was she supposed to destroy the djinnir? Or was there more to it than that? Dern said the Zaman knew about Aziza, and it was all written down by his relative. Wasn't this something she should know? Why tell a human stranger and not leave so much as a post-it behind for the actual Fireborn? Why would a Zaman tell him? They're supposed to be hidden, aren't they? Why would she risk the information getting out?
Dern tugged his beard and sent her a sly grin. Because she's clever. There was no true risk. She gave him a very special ring engraved with a possible variation of what he believed was the seal of Solomon. Beneath the engraving, inside the ring itself, was a pinch of glittering black sand. You know what I'm talking about. The good stuff, she'd sworn. Not from her family's jug, but straight from the source. Whoever wore it, she said, could walk through the world unnoticed by the others.
He lifted his long, thick fingers and wiggled them, showing her a large ring of brass, gold, and iron snugly stuck on his pinky.
Guess who inherited that trinket?
I read about that,
Aziza whispered. The books Greg had given her on djinn lore said that Solomon could control the djinn with a magic ring. Command, not hide from.
Maybe the truth in the myth was lost to time.
So is that the actual?
Dern shrugged.
Beats me, but it does make for a great story. Course, none of us could ever bring it in to be authenticated. That would require taking it off.
He lifted a chain around his neck and she caught a glimpse of an amulet.
That, along with a few more pieces of jewelry no man would admit to wearing out loud, has kept me completely hidden, free to work in peace.
Your great-grandfather could still tell people, she mused. The ring wouldn't keep him from doing that.
Aziza's eyes wandered over to the tempting table of old books. How did she ask for the Fireborn Journal without sounding desperate? She wanted to dive in and not leave until he dragged her out. She had a feeling this table held all of her answers. About who she was, at least. She was pretty sure the answers to her questions about Ram and Brandon couldn't be found in a book. Unless the Zalman had seen that, too.
He did tell his story, Dern sighed regretfully. To anyone who would listen, the dumb bastard. That got him a ticket to the Nut House and made him the laughingstock of all his peers. When he died, he left the ring and his journals to my father and then me. We kept the legacy alive, waiting for the Fireborn, and what the Zalman said would arise with her.
What would arise?
The way he said it made it sound ominous.
Treasures without price, and knowledge of great powers that were hidden here after the treaty to ensure its continuation. My father went to his grave still thinking it was about the mountains of gold, but I discovered the truth.
She frowned.
What do you mean?
Sucking in his lower lip, Dern studied her.
The threat of the Fireborn wasn't the only thing holding the treaty together. If your Amu line and one family with a bucket of never-ending sand were all that stood in the way of two powerful enemies wiping each other out, how much energy do you think they'd put into protecting you? The djinn and Nir each had to add something to the mix that would hold them in check. Something to guarantee the treaty would last for all time, and neither side would make a move that went against it. No alliances and no wars. Just the treaty. It would have to be something big.
Skin in the game.
She'd said it to Ram that night on the roof when she was asking him about the treaty.
Do you know what it is?
No. No, Fireborn.
Dern shook his finger at her.
Not what? I think it's who. That it was always about the who. You, for example, want to know who you are, what you really are. The only way you can truly understand that is to go back to the beginning. To know what truly transpired to initiate the treaty that created your line and the signing itself.
Aziza leaned back in her chair.
It was about who? As in a person other than her.
That sounds great, but time travel doesn't seem to be one of my abilities.
Dern lifted one scraggly eyebrow.
You've broken more than one vial, right?
Yes.
Then by now you must have heard her. Had her show you things in dreams.
She leaned forward again.
Who?
The Mayette.
The dreams had come right away, and she had heard things even when she hadn't called on her powers. Felt things. She knew she was changing. Especially since seeing into the Nir and djinn worlds, and her experience with Ram on stage.
What is the Mayette?
She asked.
Seriously, it's been driving me crazy. What does that word mean? Is it another term for Fireborn? Is it a person? Is it the who? Be warned that if you tell me what the sand conceals it will reveal, I'm going to be...
Angry didn't begin to cover it. Flaming banshee, maybe?
Disappointed.
He snorted.
I'm not trying to disappoint you. The journals say the Mayette was born soaked in fire and blood, born out of true injustice and unspeakable abuses of power. She was the result of the war. Her existence ensured the treaty, and when it was actualized, she returned to her previous form and hid herself away, watching.
She? So the Mayette was a woman?
At one point, yes, in a way. She took on female form for a time, after she became aware, in order to communicate. But the Mayette is the sand, and she can reveal things to you, which is my point.
Aware. Since the moment she'd cut her hand on the vial and the sand had moved toward the wound, Aziza had sensed it was aware. Alive, inside her. Chev had tried to tell her as much, and Aziza had felt it herself when she was with Ram, but she got the feeling that she'd had no idea how alive until this moment. The Mayette was the sand, which meant she had the Mayette inside her. Her powers weren't really her own. She was only a vessel. The vessel. Aziza shook her head, rattled by the direction her thoughts were taking.
What do you mean by your point?
That she can show you what you need, if you know how to ask.
He picked up a faded blue journal, mumbling to himself as his finger traced the words on the page.
Yes, this bit. The Mayette's powers reveal themselves when there is a need for justice. The cleansing fire. Mayette's veil and witness. You know about those. But Mayette's truth can help you the most. I'm sure you've used that more than once, and you know what it is. Your own personal portable lie detector.
Yes.
She'd used all of them more than she was willing to admit, for reasons that were less than worthy.
Does she respond to your questions? Sometimes when you don't even know you've asked them.
Aziza nodded. More than ever now. And she wasn't just responding to questions. Aziza thought about her night with Ram. She was also making the occasional demand.
Dern raised his eyebrows. This journal says the one born of the fire can find their own truths as well as those they must judge. All those powers increased based on the amount of the Keeper's sand that you have inside you. You've had two, so I would think you'd be noticing a marked difference, though no one knows
how the sand will shape the Fireborn. I know that bit, she mumbled.
He chuckled again.
By the time you collect the set, you could probably dial her up on your cell.
She took a deep breath, smiling at the sound of his laughter. It was a relief to talk to someone about all of this. Someone who knew so much and didn't hesitate to share it.
Why are you telling me all of this?
Are you kidding?
Dern sat down in his chair and his broad grin was contagious.
Didn't I say, Aziza? I've been waiting to meet you since I was born. Forever, it seems. Waiting for the girl in flux. The one who was destined to arrive, but whose future is yet to be realized. Your dreams will determine our path.
Gee, no pressure there.
He wiped his eyes and pulled out his shirt to clean his glasses, his expression sobering.
No, too much pressure, actually, which is the reason I decided we should meet. From what I've read, your line's creation wasn't exactly well thought out. One person should never have that much power foisted on them, and no one should be asked to make such a sacrifice, especially when they don't know. When you don't know what it's really about. What you are supposed to be.
He shrugged.
Then again, I have a feeling there weren't a lot of options available at the time.
What are you talking about? What sacrifice?
He handed her a journal, then began to push other books out of the way and unfold old, yellowed letters, muttering under his breath all the while.
There they are.
Dern set a piece of parchment down in front of her and smacked his hand victoriously on the table.
This is an invocation used by the first Zaman to speak to the Mayette directly. If you rework the wording and use Mayette's truth, that should give you the most clarity for your vision, and West has the ingredients you need for the incense you'll have to use.
He handed her a spiral notebook covered in coffee stains and doodles.
That is everything I could copy and translate from an old book protected by a particularly private Bedouin tribe, supposedly a first-hand account of the battle that birthed the Mayet. He shook his head. Do you know that in one way or another, the memory of the Mayet's justice and the great battle of the Fireborn is in nearly every religion and culture across the globe? Look closely at the Zoroastrianism and their worship of truth and their fire temples, ancient Hinduism and the Yajna fire ceremony, where the fire acts as a mediator. The name Mayet itself is another word for Ma'at, the ancient Egyptian goddess of truth and justice. Even early Christian... Wait! Aziza raised her hand to her temple. I can only take in so much at one sitting. This is an account of the battle that a Bedouin tribe had? Dern's expression was apologetic. I told you it's nice having someone to talk to. I spend a lot of time alone, and I tend to get carried away. Yes, the book. The tribe refused to part with it, and after I was shown a demonstration of their fire test, the Bisha, I decided I liked my tongue too much to get on their bad side. Luckily, one of the elder women found my red hair fascinating and let me inside the tent where it was kept for a look. Fire test? Aziza held up the first journal he'd given her. And this? Written on those pages are some of the first notes taken about the coming Fireborn. Interesting reading. Overwhelmed, Aziza set down the journal and pushed her hair back behind her ears.
Dern, I don't know how to start thanking you. My friend Greg shared some kind of mind meld with my Nier, and he wrote several journals full of notes. Most of it was gibberish, though. But this? I feel like a kid at Christmas.
Those are just a loan. I can't break up my collection. And you don't have to thank me. You just have to let me write down your story. It's time I filled my own journals for the next generation.
He nodded, as if he'd just made the decision.
My sister's child is pregnant. I'm thinking the baby will want to carry on the family tradition.
He looked down at his shoes for a moment and sighed. It was such a sad sound Aziza wanted to hug him, but she wasn't sure he'd appreciate it. She supposed he didn't spend much time with his family. Not with all his research. Not when he was always hiding. He looked at her again.
West mentioned you had a traveling companion, but I didn't know he was touched by an angel.
He chuckled at his own reference.
Notebooks, you say? Do you think you could bring them to me so I can copy them?
She caressed the journal and nodded. It's the least I can do. You have no idea how hard it's been to get information I need. They keep telling me the answers would come, that my blood would tell me. But my blood has been irritatingly vague. Sometimes I do get answers, but most of the time they only lead me to more questions and leave me thinking they picked the wrong member of my family to be Fireborn. Dern shushed her.
You'll know they didn't when you read the Keeper's visions of you. Not that I believe anything is entirely predestined. West told you I'm not a fan of fate. We all make choices. Even the Fireborn chooses whether to accept the power with the blood sacrifice. Has to invite the Mayet inside. But you can choose every day what kind of Fireborn you want to be. How you react to what you learn, and whether you'll embrace or fight what you are. So yes, she saw you as Fireborn, but not even the Zaman was certain of the outcome. Like I told you, only your choices can determine that.
She placed her hand over her heart, feeling it pound with anxiety. Was this too good to be true? Why was he spending his life collecting this information, traveling in shadows, and hanging out at construction sites? Who was he, really? His large hand covered hers, the gift from the Zaman twinkling on his pinky finger.
Your veil has faded, but your Mayet's witness remains. I can see that you have doubts. I don't blame you. Dealing with the Djinn and Nier, not to mention the enforcers on a regular basis, would make anyone skittish. None of them are the straightest of shooters. Ask for the truth here. Look inside and call to it now.
She closed her eyes and focused on finding her own truth. The Mayet's truth.
Her forehead burned. Did the Zaman really give all this information to Dern's family?
Yes, the voice whispered. The keepers of the sand are given visions of the future, so they may anticipate the Fireborn's needs and find ways to aid her in maintaining peace. The Fireborn needed knowledge, so a path was created for her to gain access if she could not release her fears enough to find it on her own.
Will the incantation allow me to look into the past for the Maiet, to see what happened when the treaty was formed?
The Fireborn can look to the past as well as the future. The Keeper's child can guide you.
West would guide her? The past or future? Did that mean she could use it to find Joseph, find Razia before he killed again?
Joseph is alive, but hidden from all until his time comes. Hidden to protect the Fireborn. Razia understands the sand, the Maiet. He has been careful, hidden, but his impatient ambition to break the treaty and retrieve what was lost will force him to make alliances that could undo his work.
She took in the information about Razia, but all she could think about was her brother. Joseph was hidden to protect her. How did that do anything but distract her? She needed him here, beside her. In the end, he will be at the Fireborn's side. The whispered response brought tears to her eyes. She would see him again. But in the end of what? Aziza was amazed at how clear the responses were now. Maybe the release she'd achieved at Underbridge had helped. If the incantation increased that clarity, she would finally have access to all her answers. And even Dern seemed to imply that if she had Adam's vial, her ability could only improve. Where was it?
The answer is developing. You will be shown what you need.
Developing. Adam's roll of film. Had he taken a picture of where he'd put the sand? Greg was supposed to pick the pictures up today. She had to get a look at them. She needed to get to that vial before anyone else did. She needed this to be over. She wanted her baby brother back.
The Fireborn's family is man. All worlds. The Maiet's vessel must be protected or it could be taken away.
The Maiet's vessel. She'd been right. She thought about her excessive passions, the thoughts in her head that weren't her own. If she took in too much sand, too much power, would she stop being herself? Would the Maiet take over? Possess her the way Ram had possessed Greg and Penn when he'd introduced himself?
The Maiet seeks justice, craves knowledge and desires experience. You are more with the Maiet. You will be more. But there are those who wish to replace you with another.
Replace her? By killing her and making Joseph the Fireborn? Or ending the line completely? It didn't matter. The Jinnir wouldn't succeed as long as she found out where they would strike next.
Tonight they seek one you are meant to protect.
Tonight. West had been right. She had to go back to Underbridge. Aziza opened her eyes, feeling reborn.
Thank you, Dern, she said from the bottom of her heart. I could kiss you.
He stared unblinking in her direction.
Dern?
What? Oh, I apologize. He slapped his cheeks. Think I fell asleep there for a minute. Did you get some answers? Trust me now?
Yes, and better than that, I found a way to get answers, thanks to you and your collection. I've used Maiet's truth before. I just never... Well, I don't think I ever looked at it that way.
What way?
Like I have my own personal magic eight ball in my head.
He snorted.
See? Funny. When you fully contact her with the incantation, I hope you'll remember to take notes.
I'll do my best.
He nodded.
And now that you know I'm around, you can come back and look through these books anytime you want. West will know how to find me. In fact, I insist since I'll be looking forward to your friend's notebooks. I've got some ancient tablets full of ramblings from similar experiences. But there hasn't been a near-human exchange in centuries.
She came around the table and gave him a spontaneous hug.
Dern, you're my hero.
Was he blushing?
Hush. You're the Fireborn, the hero of this fairy tale. I'm just an old book collector, and your new biographer.
Aziza smiled. Welcome to my crazy life, and thank you again.
I'm up for some crazy.
He slipped on his bent glasses, eyes twinkling.
Take notes.
She would, and she would thank her lucky stars that the Zaman had sent West and Dern her way. Finally, she thought, as she walked toward the pub door. Finally, she would have answers, and all the ammunition she needed to fight Razia.
Chapter 10 I'm sorry, Chai, what did you say?
Aziza asked. Between the loud music, her preoccupation with what she'd learned from Dern, and Ram's continued absence, she was having a hard time focusing this evening. Chai leaned over their table and repeated patiently,
Let's have it.
Aziza wrinkled her brow.
Have what?
Her head tilted almost playfully, the long, ropey locks of hair sliding over her shoulders.
The interrogation. You're Greg's best mate, yeah? While he and West are standing in line at the bar, you'll want to know my intentions. Get more references. The works.
She paused, her eyes darkening.
You'll want to know that I'm already over the moon for your Mr. Prophet.
Oh, that. When she'd called Greg on her way home to tell him that they had to go to Underbridge tonight, he hadn't been chained to his computer at Penn's flat. He'd been at West's and Chai's. In fact, she and Greg hadn't been out of each other's company for more than a couple of hours in the last few days. Chai had even come over to meet Penn and Hillary. Aziza had so much on her plate she'd hardly had the chance to tease Greg about his whirlwind romance, to get all the juicy details, to find out if Chai was in fact a dominatrix. She had a few details to share with him, too. And Ram. Why wasn't he here yet?
I will.
Aziza's lips quirked, pretending she wasn't concerned.
Won't I trust him to make good choices? Or leave him alone because he's a grown man who knows what he's doing more often than I do?
Chai snorted and shook her head. No way. If anything, you'll be more suspicious because you know how solid he is. And you'll tell yourself he always knows what he's doing, except when it comes to this. Because didn't he hold a torch for you forever? One that isn't quite out yet?
Aziza's eyes widened. Did he tell you that?
It's obvious to anyone with eyes. She reached out and covered Aziza's hand with her own, sending a jolt through her system.
Seeing you, getting to know you, I'd think he was an idiot or mad if he wasn't a little bit in love with his best gal.
I think I like you, Aziza grinned. Chai laughed.
Oh, you do. You definitely do. We're too much alike for you not to. Everyone underestimates us, thinks we're too young and helpless to know what we want or how to protect ourselves, don't they? And they're wrong. We're both orphan misfits who managed to find people to care for, people who care about us. We were supposed to meet, don't you think?
Yes. That's exactly how it felt. The thread connecting her heart to Chai Wen's had only gotten stronger when Aziza realized that she was one of the women she had to protect. When she realized how Chai felt about Greg, over the moon, she'd said, it was exactly the right thing to say.
Sisters, then?
Chai stood up on her stool and leaned over the table, kissing her on the cheek. She smelled like wildflowers.
Sisters, she whispered in her ear.
Aziza was still reeling from the gesture when West and Greg arrived back at the table, their hands full of drinks.
Aziza Jane.
Yes, West?
He looked over his shoulder.
You didn't tell us you invited your detective boyfriend to our party tonight. And I'm guessing you didn't tell him you were coming either, did you?
Her.
Brandon? Greg swore. Aziza put her hand on West's back, trying to peer around him.
Why would you say that? Are you having a psychic vision?
One could only hope.
Not unless by vision you mean 2020, because I'm seeing a mutant-sized man that fits the description of your current love interest, parting the crowd like Moses did the sea, and he hasn't taken his eyes off this table. He must see Greg.
or he'd caught her scent. Great. The Janir were coming for someone tonight, and now an enforcer was coming for her.
Motherfucking shit,
she swore softly. When West snorted, letting her know he'd heard her, she added,
Excuse me, and if he asks, I didn't see him.
Think he'll believe that?
West called after her, grinning as she ran around the table and headed back for the bathrooms like the coward she was. Maybe Chev would show up and pull her through the mirror so she wouldn't have to face the music. Days. She hadn't seen him in days. She'd never responded to his messages, but she knew he was keeping tabs on her. There were enforcers outside of Penn's place day and night, and she was sure Hillary had told him she'd gone to meet his father without him. Did he know something was going to happen tonight? Or had someone told him about Ram having played with the deceased Stacy? How would she stop herself from jumping into his arms, and did she even want to? How would she tell him about her night with Ram? Her head was about to explode with questions when Brandon came into the bathroom. He swiftly held up the badge she knew all enforcers had to use in case of inconvenient humans.
Out,
he told the two women touching up their makeup in the mirror. They reacted predictably, racing away in a flutter of nerves and panic, leaving Aziza alone with him. She leaned forward against the sink for a moment and then glanced at him over her shoulder.
Hey.
Hey.
He sounded calm and mildly curious. Hell, Brandon was pissed.
I've heard some men say that when women run from you, they might be trying to hide something, he continued. Hiding something, baby? Did the alpha upset you? Did you not want me to see the bruises you must still be enjoying after your performance with Ram? Or are you still avoiding me on principle because I lied?
Shit. She turned to face him, knowing with a sudden clarity that after all these days and nights of worry, there was only one thing she could do. Tell him the truth.
I'm not hiding anything, Brandon. Your father did upset me, in more ways than I can possibly express. But I've agreed to go to his party tomorrow night in spite of it. I don't have any bruises, and I've been avoiding you because...
She shook her head and took a ragged breath.
Because I didn't know what to say. I've been a little on edge and crazy, but you knew that when we met. Who else but a crazy woman would proposition a man after he kidnapped her and locked her in an interrogation room? You can't say you weren't given clues.
His silence went on for too long, making her nervous. She swallowed.
Look, I know you're here about the investigation, so you probably don't want to talk about this now. It can wait.
Brandon's golden eyes narrowed dangerously.
No, I don't think it can. Yes, I'm here about the investigation. We got a tip from a possible witness and we're following it up. But all I've wanted to do from the moment I left you the other night is talk about us. To be us.
He took a deep, shaky breath.
First, you need to tell me why you're here. And if you're hiding the exile.
Aziza frowned. I had a sense that something was going to happen tonight, and I wanted to protect the only potential human girlfriend I've had since I was 12, who also happens to be the woman Greg has a thing for.
She crossed her arms defensively.
And Ram is here, somewhere. I was sitting with the people who brought him. Do you honestly believe I would do that? Hide a killer from you? Even if it was Ram, which I know it isn't.
Brandon leaned his back against the bathroom door, his gaze steady on hers.
I believe you are, on occasion, bloody stubborn-minded and crazy. I believe I've missed you so much these last few days, it was hard to breathe. I believe every time I called and you didn't answer, I wanted to put you back in that interrogation room until you forgave me for seeing you as my woman instead of the vessel. And I believe, I know, that you would do anything for the people you care about, whether they were guilty or not.
She opened her mouth to speak, then shut it again. The tortured look in his eyes tearing her apart. What could she say to that? He reached out and grabbed her arm, pulling her into his embrace. The heat of him instantly surrounded her, and her body became alive.
The question is, can you care about someone and not trust them? Because I trust you.
He slid his arms around her, his large hands cupping the curve of her ass through her backless vinyl mini dress.
I trust you, even when I find you here, dressed in a way that demands to be noticed. Look at this dress, Aziza.
He turned her around to face the mirror, studying the plunging, draped neckline and the hem that ended mid-thigh. He ran his fingers over her back.
I don't see any marks at all.
They healed that night, she murmured. And for the record, I asked Ram to do it. My plan was to get to know the other girls who played here and find out what they knew.
Did it work?
She nodded, and his rough fingers scraped across her arms, moving toward the skin the plunging neckline revealed.
And after your ruse was over, did you let him fuck you again?
He'd always known how her powers had been initiated. He'd followed her into the garden and been right there after it happened, smelling ram and sex on her skin. She knew it bothered him. No. His fingers skimmed the hard tips of her nipples.
I trust you, Aziza. I believe you.
It hurt to hear him say it. You don't. You've been smart not to up until now, and you shouldn't start. There are things you don't know. Brandon wasn't looking into her eyes now. He was watching his fingers as they pulled the fabric of her dress apart until her breasts were bared to his gaze.
We have enforcers placed here and at Mr. West's townhouse in Soho. I know you and Greg spent the night with Ram and his friends after you let him whip you until you came on stage.
Aziza gasped, and her eyelids fluttered. He knew where West lived. How thorough of you. In reply, he pinched her nipples between his fingers and squeezed hard.
I know you feel something for him. Something more than gratitude for saving your aunt's life. I know you care about him.
Aziza shivered, moaning at his masterful touch. Brandon, wait. I have to tell you about that night. Oh, God. He would stop if she told him. She didn't want him to stop, but she couldn't be selfish. His fingers tightened even more on her flesh, and the piercing sensation sent heat through her body. She had to resist her need for him, had to be as honest with him as she was with Ram. Brandon cared about her, more than cared. He deserved to know everything she'd done. We didn't have sex that night, but we both... Oh, I'm so sorry.
How?
His voice was a growl as his hands left her breasts and went to the hem of her dress. He wrenched it up over her hips to her waist, revealing the black thong beneath.
Did you take him in your mouth, the way you did that night in the stables?
She gasped. You knew? Meeting her shocked gaze in the mirror, he snarled as he smacked one bare cheek, then hooked a finger under the flimsy fabric of the thong and twisted. It ripped easily, and he balled the now useless material in his fist.
Don't you know what I am yet, baby? What I can do? Answer me. How creative did you get this time? Did you suck the djinn's cock again? Or stroke him with your talented fingers? Did you let him push your breasts together and slide between them until he came?
When he dropped her underwear and his finger slid through her wet, waiting sex from behind, she moaned, No, none of those.
Did he kiss you here?
Brandon rasped when he slipped his two thick fingers inside her.
Did you spread your legs and let him use his tongue to make you scream?
No, Brandon, we didn't. We didn't even kiss. We made ourselves... Oh, fuck. It felt so good. What he was doing felt so good. But his words were off. She'd expected a fight from him. Judgment. Betrayal in his eyes. But when she looked at him, she could see the anger transforming into lust. Wildness. The beast in him needed to mark his territory. She wanted him to mark her. Brandon.
Yes,
he groaned. fucking her with the fingers of one hand while the others returned to her breasts.
Brandon, not Ram. Not the fool who had you begging and chained and didn't take what he's dying to. What every man who sees you seems to want, including your new friend who couldn't take his eyes off you when you were running away from me. Tell me the truth. Since we've been together, who else has been inside your tight pussy?
He thrust his fingers deeper inside her, and his thumb, already slick with her arousal, pressed between the cheeks of her ass.
Who else has gotten in here?
Aziza bent forward, bracing her hands on the sink as her body responded desperately, almost helplessly, to his touch.
No one but you, Brandon. I swear, only you.
The hand on her breast lifted to her face and turned it towards his. His kiss was carnal, full of urgency. Perfect. She wasn't the fire. He was.
You like this, don't you?
His voice was gritty and rough when he tore his lips from hers.
Tormenting me for days, playing with other men and pushing me to the edge. You distract me with your scent and tempt me to forget my responsibilities long enough to make me remember who you belong to.
As he spoke, Aziza forgot everything else. Everyone. The pain and confusion. The elation and realizations of the last few days. It all burned away, and there was only Brandon. Only his eyes. His heat. Only his scent and the passion that consumed them both whenever they were together.
Yes, Brandon. God, I've missed you.
He growled.
You need to be chained to my bed for my sanity's sake alone.
She met his gaze in the mirror.
Whatever you want, copper.
Fuck, baby, look at you. This is all I see. You are all I see. One woman whose body I will never get tired of exploring.
He placed his hands between her shoulder blades and pressed firmly until she was leaning her elbows against the marble counter.
One woman who fights my every sane request but yields to all my forbidden desires.
She watched his reflection as he gripped her hip with one hand and undid his jeans swiftly with the other.
One woman who drives me insane, who makes me want things I can't want, makes me want more.
The head of his bare cock pushed inside her and she moaned, closing her eyes and tilting her hips back instinctively to take more of him. More.
Oh, God, yes, Brandon. More.
That's my greedy baby. Look at her, he growled. Watch while I take her here. While I fuck her where anyone could walk in and see her so wet and sweet and spread out for me like a fucking feast.
She opened her eyes, forcing herself to focus past the haze of desire that crashed over her when he thrust his hips against hers, filling her, so deep. Brandon clenched his jaw as he held her gaze in the mirror. His cheeks flushed over his short beard, his teeth bared as he hissed when she tightened her muscles around him.
Do you want them too, baby? Do you want someone to catch me fucking you? Would you like to invite Ram in so he can watch you come again? I know how much you love to shock me.
Yes. No. She shook her head. She couldn't think. This felt deliciously forbidden. Fully clothed and bent over in a bathroom at a crowded club with Brandon pumping his impossibly thick cock deep inside her. So deep she could feel him everywhere. So hard her body shook the counter.
Brandon!
My name. It's my name you call when you want to feel this.
When her head dropped, feeling too heavy to stay upright, he gripped her hair, tugging on the thick tresses until her neck arched and she was watching him in the mirror again.
My name you screamed when I took you so hard we broke the bed. My name you moaned when I took you again on the floor in the rubble. My name you were shouting against the djinn's cock when I had you on your knees in the stables. I couldn't see him. But I knew his scent, Aziza.
His hips slammed against her, harder. So hard she cried out from the force of it, loving each thrust, needing more.
I knew what you were doing to him, and I didn't care about anything but fucking your sweet ass until you cried my name. I couldn't stop.
He knew. Oh, God. She couldn't take it all in. All she could do was feel.
Brandon, don't stop. Please. Harder. Fuck me harder.
He hissed out a curse.